Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have called us to this hour of worship. We thank you, Lord, that as members of the bodies of Christ, help us to fulfill our vocation and to exercise the ministry. You have called your church, Lord, to be a holy priesthood. Help us in this privilege to offer spiritual sacrifices, to enter into fellowship with you, and to intercede for each other. Help us to see more clearly how we can introduce others to Jesus Christ. You have given us different gifts. May we share them with others, to use them responsibly in the service of others in the community. Grant us to be generous in giving and humble in receiving, that we may gather up to be responsible followers and to be Christ-like. You have called us to be your witnesses. Give us grace to obey your call. We thank you, Lord, for our friendship, especially for those who have shared our troubles and sorrows in times past. We remember, Lord, our friends, our loved ones, our family members, wherever they are. Lord, help us to extend our friendship to others around us and to remember the lonely, the housebound, and those who need a friend helping hand. May we find awareness in life, in seeking friendship in the family of the church. Above all, may we find a friend in our Savior Jesus Christ, and daily enjoy his presence and companionship. This we pray in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 is undoubtedly one of the best known passages in the Bible. Most of us learn it as children and continues to be comfort to those who are dying and those who have lost loved ones. Maybe it's so popular because it's so personal and individual. When we read it, we don't think of David shepherding his sheep 3,000 years ago. It applies to us. The Lord is my shepherd. But we live in a society where tending sheep is not our ordinary occupation. In fact, I would say none of us know who is a shepherd, much less favor than with a shepherd's life. And so we think we have a tendency to lose a little bit of what David intended when he wrote these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As you know, David himself was a shepherd. He was known as the Shepherd King of Israel. He saw Yahuwah, the Lord God of Israel, as his shepherd. He speaks in the psalm as if he is one of the flock, one of the sheep. Because of all this, he knew from first-hand experience that the Lord of any particular sheep depends on the type of man who owns it. Under one man, the sheep may struggle, may starve, and suffer hardship. But under another shepherd, they flourish and thrive contentedly. The Lord is my shepherd. He chose us. He calls us by name. He makes his thoughts and delights in taking care of us. So David says, "I shall not want." The idea here is God supplies our needs.
He's my shepherd, I lack nothing.
A Sunday school teacher asked a group of children if any of them could quote the 23rd Psalm. And a 4-year-old girl raised her hands, and a bit skeptical, and the teacher asked her, "All right, repeat it." And the little girl came forward, and she said, and bowed, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." She may have looked a few verses, but I think the little girl captured David's heart in Psalm 23. The idea throughout the psalm is that we are utterly contented in the shepherd's care, as nothing else we desire. Notice that our Lord supplies our every need, not what we want. As Paul says, "And my God shall supply all thy need according to his riches in the glory by Jesus Christ." The same one who sustained the children of Israel, the one who fed Elijah by the brook, who provided the needs of the disciples, he promised to provide our needs, both physical and spiritual. Let me tell you what is a good shepherd. A good shepherd loves his sheep. For him there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than seeing his sheep contented, well fed, and flourishing in his care. That's what all life is all about. He goes to a great trouble to provide them with the finest grazing, the ample winter food and clean water. He provides shelter from storms, protection from the enemies, diseases, parasites, and from the lions in the pastures. From early dawn till night, the good shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. He gets up early in the morning, and he goes out first thing to look after his flock. He examines the sheep to see if they are fit and contented. He tells whether they have been ill or need special attention. So throughout the day, the shepherd looks after his flock to make sure everything is all right. Even at night, he sleeps with one eye and both ears open, ready for any sign of trouble, and he protects his sheep. This is the kind of shepherd we have. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So truly, truly, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next, he makes me down to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, it's not easy for a sheep to lie down. The strange thing about sheep is that they will refuse to lie down unless there are 4 requirements. I'm not a sheep, but let me tell you this. First, a sheep will lie down if it's free from all fear. Secondly, a sheep will lie down if there's no tension between members of the flock. Thirdly, they must not be aggravated by flies or parasites, and they must be free from hunger. It is the shepherd that must see that his flock is free from disturbances. You see, sheep are easily frightened. If, say, a stray jackrabbit jumps behind a bush, that will stampede the whole flock. When one sheep is startled, all the others will follow, not even wanting to see what frightened them. But nothing quietens down a flock of sheep when they see the shepherd is with them. Like sheep, we are also frightened. We sometimes live in an uncertain life. Any hour can bring disaster. The newspapers is all full of disaster. And generally, it is the unknown, the unexpected that frightens us most. But nothing quietens our souls, nothing troubles us when our shepherd is near. Suddenly things are not half as black and terrifying, for our Lord is with us. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. You know, among the sheep animal kingdom, there's always a kind of status, established order, a pecking order. Among the sheep, it is a butting order. Sheep maintain their status by butting and driving away other sheep from their favorite grazing spot. When there is tension in a flock, the sheep cannot lie down and rest. They must stand up and be ready to fight. The result is that they wear the sheep out. They lose weight and become irritable. When there is a shepherd around, they forget their rivalries and they stop their fighting. There's a lot of trouble with most of us, don't they? We try to keep up with the Joneses, the struggle for self-assertion, self-recognition. Most of us fight to be the top sheep. We butt, we quarrel, we compete. It's impossible to relax in that kind of environment. You have to be ready to stand up and defend your rights. But things change when we have the spirit of the shepherd in us. The Lord's presence put us an end to all rivalry. The sheep will not rest when they're bothered by insects and parasites. So the shepherd must provide them with relief. The sheep will not rest until they are free from hunger. A hungry sheep is always on its feet, searching for something to eat, to satisfy their gnawing hunger. Remember when David wrote this psalm, it was in Israel, a dry, brown, sunburned land. Green pastures didn't happen by chance. The shepherds has to search for the green pastures. And when a sheep has eaten enough, it will be free from tension, aggravation. It will lie down. So our shepherd provides us with the spiritual food we need. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, He has promised to fill us. All our needs are met in our Savior Christ Jesus. That's why He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me also in the still waters. A sheep need water to survive, and they will not drink from fast, turbulent water. They require a slow-flowing stream, a still waters. Jesus made it clear that the souls of men and women can only be satisfied when they come to Him. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. A shepherd leads us beside the still waters." Next, He restoreth my soul. You know, there's an old English word which calls cast sheep. This is a sheep that lies on its back and can't get back again. It happens frequently. The sheep lies on its back and it can't turn over. And when that happens, all that the sheep can do is lie on its back, its feet flaying frantically in the air. Sometimes it will bleed, sometimes it will kick. But if the shepherd
does not come within a short time, the sheep will die. That's why one of the reasons why a shepherd is always looking, counting the number of sheep that he has. If one is missing, one of the sheep is in trouble, and he will go and find it. So this is the thought of the parable of the 99 sheep, the one that has gone astray. Many times the shepherd will search for a single sheep, only to find it lying on its back, lying helpless. He will turn the sheep over on its side, rub its legs, and lift it on its feet. After a while, the sheep will stumble and stagger and walk steady and surely. This is probably what David had in mind when he said, "He restores my soul." Because that's how the Lord treats us. We stumble and fall. We become so helpless. And yet our shepherd is patient and tender and help us to get back on our feet. In the Gospels we see the tenderness of Jesus towards sinners, how he restored Peter's heart after his denial. Yes, Jesus restores our soul, your soul and my soul. And next, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If sheep are left to themselves, they will continue to graze the same hills until they turn to a desert waste. They will gnaw at the grass to the very ground until the roots are damaged. So they need a shepherd to lead them to a good grazing area. We are like sheep. As human beings, we prefer to follow our own fancies and turn to our own ways. In Isaiah 56, it says, "We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And so we need a shepherd who can lead us in the paths of righteousness, as our Lord does. Notice that our shepherd, our good shepherd, is not a driver, but he is a leader. He stands behind us with a stick. "Go on and do that." In 1 Peter 2:21 he says, "For even hereunto were ye called." Become like Christ and suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Our Lord leads, and he always leads us in the paths of righteousness. For he said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto me. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. "And yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There are many valleys in life for all of us. Some of us have many values, some have few. Some have very deep values, some not so deep. But somewhere in our journey, we must all cross the valley of the shadow of death. For it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Its time may be unknown, but certain to come. So we must walk one by one. unless we walk it with Christ. We cannot walk in this valley on our own. We cannot walk it with our business partner. We cannot take our friends or our relatives with us. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk with Christ. Remember when you were a child, you considered yourself to be big. You don't understand restrictions. You could take care of yourself. But when a thunderstorm comes, you climb into bed with your parents. We need to know our loved ones were close. So it is in life. As adults, we don't feel like we need God. We can take care of ourselves. But as death approaches, we all run to someone stronger. In my visit to the hospitals as hospital chaplain, I see people in their older life very lonely because they have no one to visit them. And when I come round and visit them, it gives them comfort. It gives them joy, no matter how much, how little. One day there was a man, he was trying to do his crossword puzzle by his bedside, and he was very puzzled. And I came by and I said, "Are you still struggling with your crossword puzzle?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What is the clue?" And he said, "It is bread and cash." I said, "Why don't you try the word dough, D-O-U-G-H?" And he wrote down, "Oh," he said, "yes." He was so happy. Yes, no matter how big, how small, befriend someone in a hospital who may be very ill, may be dying, and he may not even have comfort from his children who are so far away. You can only choose to the Lord at death if you are close to Him during life. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When a shepherd is out in the field with his flock, he carries very little with him. Today, of course, the shepherd carries a rifle. In the Middle East, the shepherd carries only a rod and a staff. The rod is like a club. The shepherd learns from childhood how he must throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes his main weapon of defense for his sheep. He uses it to drive off predators like the wolves, the cougars, and the stray dogs. In the bush, it is to beat away snakes. But it's also for discipline. If the sheep wanders away or approaches poisonous weeds or goes too close to danger, the rod is thrown to bring back the flock. The staff is actually a long, slender stick, often with a crook or hook at the end. You see, the shepherd will use the staff to guide the sheep along a new path through a gate. He doesn't beat the sheep, he just nudges them along. At times, the staff may be used to keep the sheep out of trouble, to pull the sheep from deep waters, or to free from thorns. For those of us who are the sheep of God, the authority, the power, the might, and the guidance of the Lord is indeed a comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's a really an unusual image, isn't it? I've never seen sheep sitting at table, have you? The sheep pastures were called mesas. Mesas, which is the Spanish for tables. This is a common language, and David probably means the pasture land has been prepared. In the spring, after the snow melts, the shepherd will take his sheep up the mountains to find pastures. But first he must go up into the wild country to check it out. He will take a supply of salt to distribute over the range. He will decide whether his camps will be located. He will make sure that the vegetation is sturdy. He will check for poisonous weeds and cover any snakes. In a similar fashion, the Lord takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. The Lord has gone out and checked things out. He has already been there. He has been tempted at all points, like as we are. He has gone ahead of us. Hebrews 4:15. The Lord Jesus has known our sorrows. He has endured our struggles in order to help us through. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You see, a particular problem with the sheep is that the flies, the mosquitoes, they trouble the sheep. They are bothered by sometimes called a nasal fly that lays eggs in the damp nose of the sheep. They cause the larva crawl up the nose of the sheep and cause a lot of aggravation. So at the beginning of the fly season, the shepherd will mix an oil concoction. And in Palestine, they use olive oil, sulfur, and spice. It's then applied to the heads of the sheep. And oil is used also to remove scab, which can be contagious. It's another way of saying, our Lord takes care of us. Our Lord gives us everything we need. Paul expresses it this way. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is within us. It is true, my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, the sheep with a shepherd like this knows he is a privileged person. Our Lord truly cares for us as a good shepherd. No matter what else may happen, we know that goodness and mercy will always follow us. We are content in our flock, in our shepherd, and there's no desire for a change. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we can safely say, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, the Lord desires to be our shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. The Lord Jesus never hesitated to make clear that when we come under his care and control, we are in a new relationship with him and with us. There's something special about belonging to Jesus Christ. There's a distinct mark upon a man and woman that differentiate them from the rest of the crowd who do not know him. Let me tell you what happens when a shepherd buys his sheep. He takes a knife and he cuts the ears of the sheep so that at a distance he can know whom the sheep belongs to. So a man and a woman who recognize the claim of Jesus gives allegiance to his ownership because we bear the mark of Jesus Christ. The mark of Jesus is the cross. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I think it's a sad fact that many people who have never submitted their lives to Jesus in obedience still try to claim that the Lord is my shepherd. They seem to hope that by merely admitting he is their shepherd, they will enjoy all the benefits of his care. But this is not so. For the Lord is my shepherd. What a difference that word makes, my shepherd. It is all the difference between joy and sorrow, purposefulness and meaninglessness, eternal life or eternal death. A famous actor was once the guest of honor at a social gathering. When he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from literary works, an old preacher who happened to be there asked the actor, "Please recite the 23rd Psalm." And so the actor agreed, and he stood up, and the actor recited the 23rd Psalm. His recitation was beautifully intoned. It was dramatic, emphasis for which he received a lengthy applause. He then said to the preacher, "Will you repeat the 23rd Psalm?" The preacher's voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when the preacher finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. When someone asked the actor, "What made the difference?" he said, "I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd?" Amen.